What is up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Gamecast. I am one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Cello, everybody.
And we are back for episode 78. I believe it's 78. Yeah, it's 78. Yeah. Either way, we're back. we took last week off because life happens, but we are back with some more awesome podcastiness. I don't know if that's a word, but we're making it a word today.
Sure, why not?
So, how's the week been? For me, it's been kind of rough. Just a lot of work and trying to get everything done and trying to go to bed on time and failing to do most of that. and then, like, you know, with life, things breaking around the house and having to get them fixed and scheduling maintenance people and all this other stuff. But I was able to install a new screen door today. We've needed one for a while now. Mm-hmm. And my dad came over and we put it together and it looks great. It makes the house look better. And apparently the value of our house is skyrocketing because, well, one, it's a buyer's market, and two, because there is like so many updates and upgrades we've done to the house since we've moved in that we're getting a pretty penny when we eventually sell.
Which I honestly thought it was just a screen door. You're like, oh my God, I added a screen door and my property value skyrocketed because of the damn screen door.
The other one was so bad that I wouldn't be surprised if they added an extra $1,000 on top just because of the screen door. Like it would lock. So like you would close it and without locking it or anything, and you wouldn't be able to open it. Like from the inside. I'm not saying from the outside. And I would have to lift up and like put in the Konami code and do all this other stuff to try to get it open. And it would just not. And it got to the point where, well, at one, it was already embarrassing. Like if someone came to the house, like one of the repairmen, and I couldn't open the freaking door, so I had to let them in the back. But recently, this has also happened in the past week or so, our oven caught on fire. It's definitely not. So I was able to put it out, but before I did that, I told the girls, like, basically fire drill. So my oldest went and got her brother, the others followed her, and they all went outside to wait. So I make sure that everything was safe. But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking like, yo, if the door wouldn't open, that could have been really, I mean, granted the fire was contained, I was able to use our fire extinguisher and put it out and everything. But if that wasn't the case, they would have had to go past the kitchen to get through the outside, or go down into the basement, and I would rather them just go to the front door. Right. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, if the door isn't working, that's a fire hazard. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just not cool. It's not cool for my life. So I wanted to go ahead and get that fixed. So there's some good news in that. We got a lot of things done and a lot of things fixed. We're actually having our oven replaced on Saturday. So yay. But that's been kind of my week, working and fixing stuff. What about you?
I mean, working and fixing stuff was not part of my week. Working, yes, but not fixing stuff. But yeah, just, you know, work, which is, you know, trash. You know, my doctor cleared me to work a couple hours, 3 days a week, but I just feel like trash. So, you didn't, like, pre-head injury, you know, I could have any problem. Oh, I'm not feeling well one day, or I have a myriad of health issues, or, you know, something like that. But it's just like, it's just such a, it's like a chore, and it's just not, I don't want to say it's not accomplishable, because, you know, it's just a few hours a day and just some simple tasks, but like just these little simple things that we make you realize, you're like, well, damn, I really did have like a brain injury, and not did have, still do, like, you know, just doing spreadsheets and being like, you know, moving my eyes back and forth and getting nauseous because that's what I'm doing. I having to zoom in, make everything bigger so that I can see it. So stuff like that. And it's just like, this is really, really frustrating. And then, you know, the tension problems on top of that, staring at the bright screen, just all of those things. And I'm just like, this is just garbage. And then I have to get on the phone. I have to make phone calls. And I, you know, pretend my way through calls like I'm just the happiest person in the world. Oh, I get off the phone. And I'm like, okay, I need a break.
Yeah.
I talk to one person and I need a break. And I'm like, oh my God, I have a headache. So, yeah.
And this is why I ask every time we record, like, are you sure you want to... You sure? Because you tell me these stories and I'm like, but we're recording. Like,
yeah, and I have a headache. I just have to push through it. That's what I do now. Because I'm like, it's just gonna happen. Now I have a scale of how I measure my headaches. And I can sometimes like I can be like, talking and I always get a headache when I'm talking, right? But it's manageable. It can be a manageable level. If it ever gets to the point where it's not manageable and it's like a complete shutdown type thing, like, right. I'll know what's happening. And then it's just like, this is too much. Sorry, gotta go. Can't deal with it. It happens quickly. And I'm just like, gotta bail. Boom, done. Otherwise, I kind of just manage it. And I handle it throughout, you know, the duration of like me, you know, me talking to somebody. And then like typically after that ends or it's over, you know, I wait a little while and I see if like my headache goes away, because sometimes it does. It just goes away because I've stopped talking to somebody.
Hilarious.
It's like, really funny.
Like I was talking to you and my head was hurting, but as soon as you stopped really talking, bad. It was just... It's like the skies parted. I just don't understand.
Magic, right? I had a very good conversation with multiple doctors about this. So because talking requires a whole lot of brain processing, you know, which is also why, like, if I talk to somebody that I know well and we talk all the time, it's less of a headache. If I'm talking to somebody new or if I'm talking to somebody about something I'm not 100% sure of, like something I'm iffy about, or something that requires me to do a lot of recall, like memory, and try to, you know, memorize stuff, it gets bad very quickly.
I know code switching has to be crazy now.
I can't even do that. I'm like, what is that? Like, I can't. I don't pull out my accents all the time anymore. Like, I'm just a different person. Like I told you, my best friend said I was so... He's like, she's usually on 200. This is her at 50. This is her at 50%. She's on, like, my normal status is like 250%, 300% actually, you know, just with the energy and the quippiness and all that.
Right.
No, but you know, post concussion, I'm literally working on 50% of that. And I just have to accept that.
You're doing a great job, though.
Hey, you know what? I've been practicing for 8 months, so thanks.
Oh,
practicing
goodness.
On recovery for that long. I get by.
After a while, it's always a good thing, right? Because if it wasn't happening in a manner that it would, it'd probably be... just harder just to cope with any of it. Like, at least there's been progress. Your doctor's been telling you that, hey, you can try these things now. Even though work is trash, being cleared to go back to work at the very least, you know, in a minimal, you know, role, at the very least shows progress. So we're definitely, you know, definitely blessed on that end and happy for that. I'm looking forward to, you know, when everything is back to normal. We're going to have to do something special. I'm going to have to, you know, drive down to where you are and record or something. It's going to be great. It's going to be a great day. Looking forward to that. Definitely looking forward to that. And not for the people. We know each other, okay? Like, I'm not... it's more about than the podcast, okay? I want Tess to feel better. So just... I'm annoyed that I have to say certain things because people just seem to... on the internet, not like in person, right? But on the internet, they just seem to take the worst take ever. Like, that's all I need is like, well, Kenny don't care about this. You just want a pod. Like, please, please, come on, please be quiet. But yeah. speaking of people, this past week has been, you know, has been a bit rough, but there has been some highlights in that. For instance, you know, I didn't watch the Super Bowl, didn't really care. I saw the halftime show, which, you know, shout out to them, but I didn't really care. I don't really watch NFL anymore. Not going to get on my, you know, pedestal or whatever about it, but the NFL be racist. I'll just say that. And it's Black History Month, so I was like, eh. But I was interested in the trailers. And one of the trailers that they showed was for Jordan Peele's new movie, Nope. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm actually glad that there's not a lot of information. It's similar to the trailer that he had for Get Out. Because Us, I think, had a lot more to show. I think Us, you didn't know what was going on, but it was, I feel like you kind of got the gist of something's wrong here. Whereas Get Out, I didn't know what to expect when I went to see Get Out based on the trailers. Like, I literally thought he went to a town with all the white people who became zombies or something. Like, I didn't know what to expect. And it's not far-fetched. I mean, they're taking over people's bodies. It's more of the invasion of the body snatchers.
Yeah.
But with this film, it's like, I don't know. What I do know is that it's Jordan Peele movie, which makes me want to see it. It's starring black people. And we're guaranteed to have at least one black person survive all the way to the end. And that's we don't true. Typically have that. You know what I'm saying? So one thing someone pointed out on Twitter, and I retweeted them. They were saying how Jordan Peele's movies are, you know, basically social commentaries wrapped up in horror, but leaning on the side of thriller. And so they're not going to give you the certain scares that you might want from other films. Mm-hmm. And I'm okay with that. Like, I think that's not bad. I think there's a space for that. And I think he does it well. Even if you didn't like Us because you thought it was going to be scarier or whatever the case may be, it's still pretty well done comparatively to a lot of just horror in general. And the fact that he has a message woven up in whatever he does, I think is really, really cool because it's usually centered on black people or poor people or, you know, something that we can kind of relate to a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward to the fact that to this movie, Nope, one, because it looks interesting, but then also because he's putting in actual historical information. When they show the guy riding on the horse, and it's basically like a GIF, but it's basically like it's like the first recording or one of the first recordings. That's actually a thing. Like you can actually Google that person, and you know it's been in museums and everything. So like, it's just really cool to see us in a genre that usually treats us poorly. If you haven't seen like the documentary on Shudder that kind of talks about black people in horror, you know there's a lot of that where we're kind of just disposable, unless it's something that we direct or, you know, you happen to be a famous rapper like LL or Busta Rhymes, like, you know, you'll survive then, definitely. And you know what I'm saying? But like most of the time, especially older films, not so much. You know, we were the token black person that died, right? And so it's really cool to see Jordan Peele's films and just to kind of marvel at the fact that we're in it and we're the main star and we survive. I mean, the fact that there was a whole, you know, in Us, I don't know if this flew over people's heads, but they're all dark skinned. Like the main characters are dark skinned black people, and you don't see that very often. Unless they're like Wesley Snipes but then he has to be, you know, saddled up with a white person. You know what I'm saying? Like, we had a whole black family, not one light skin. And no offense to my light skin people, but I'm just saying they usually, you know what I'm saying? If you're fairer skin, you usually get more roles or you get more opportunities.
Kind of light.
You know what I mean? And so it's really cool to kind of see that.
I like the fact that black people and horses.
Oh, black people and horses?
Yeah, I love horses. And clearly I love black people. I'm just happy that, you know, it's black people and it's horses. I love horses. I love black people. Yeah, kind of like, what was that movie we just saw? Harder They Come? Harder They Fall? Harder They Something? Whatever.
Oh, on Netflix, yeah.
Yeah. Black people. And horses.
Black people and horses. We were cowboys. Like, historically, we were cowboys. That shouldn't be a shocking thing. But people seemed to be like, what? But yeah, the trailer looked really cool. I enjoyed, I'm liking the cast choices. Uh-huh. You know, Keke Palmer's back. Shout out to her.
Yay.
I can't remember. I know she's had her own show and she's had some other things. So I don't remember if she's been in any films as of late. So that's pretty cool to kind of see her, you know. And then she's also in a starring role. We also got the guy from Get Out. I can't remember his name because I'm horrible with names. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah,
And he's solid in everything he does.
Yeah. Especially Black Mirror.
Right. And so I'm looking forward to it. It doesn't come out until later this year. I'm probably going to go to the movies.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of which, I did go see Scream. I'm a whole month after it came out.
Uh-huh.
Because I didn't want to be around you people. And it was ho-hum. And mm-hmm. This is coming from a Scream fan. I think that if Scream 4 didn't exist, then I would like this a little bit better. But Scream 4 kind of did what this did, or this what this was trying to do, by basically redoing the first movie. And the Scream 4 did pretty well. And so when I went to see this one, I was expecting a little bit better. And they kind of mesh old with the new, where instead of, well, let me not spoil it, but essentially the killers, their motive for doing the things that they do is just trash to me. Like, uh-huh. even in Screamville, like, you know, if you've seen these movies, they go from good to bad to better to okay. And yeah, I was like, dog, like, this could have been so much better. There are some good moments. There's some humor. But it's very hard to, I think one of my biggest criticisms with that film is that it's very hard to care about anyone because no one seems to care about anything that's happening to them. Like, people are dying left and right, and we're like, we're going to have a party, or we're going to go over here and do, like, there's very little, especially in the town that there's been murders like every other freaking year, you know, someone is copying the Scream, you know, killings or whatever, that it just keeps happening. And yeah, like the older cast or the cast from the original films, they're like, we're getting out of town. We're not coming back. I totally get it. And I wish these other people would do the same. I just didn't believe them. Like, they're like, hi, you might die next. Like, wait, that's funny.
That's not, you're laughing. Funny, yeah. It's not.
You know what I'm saying? So that kind of took me out. And I get what they were trying to do. It just didn't really work for me. But I'm glad I saw it. There was only two other people in the theater. We were spread out. It was great. Just to be away from everybody and still watch a movie that's in the theaters.
Yeah.
Like, you know, one of my biggest hobbies, solid experience, even if the movie wasn't. Another thing we want to talk about is Lord of the Rings. Now, we talked about it last podcast.
Yeah.
And Amazon's new Lord of the Rings show, which
the
seems
Rings
a little
power.
Yeah, doesn't that seem a little redundant? Like, the Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power? Like,
it shouldn't be called The Lord of the Rings because it's not about the rings, really. Like
it's not yet. It's like it's getting to the point where he's going to make the rings, but he's not the Lord yet. But I get it. You want to have that, you know, in your title because that's what people know. Like, people who don't read the books. Yeah. Like, if because you want to get not just the, you know, the people who are huge fans of it. You want to get people who heard of Lord of the Rings. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, people who are on the... Right, you want to get as many eyes as possible. So I get it, but I was like, it doesn't have a nice ring to it. No pun intended.
It should just be called the Rings of Power. Like, it just... They just call it Rings of Power. If you just drop that. You know, and maybe they'll figure that out later because that's happened with other shows. I remember that show... that I used to watch, that show that Ryan Reynolds did way back in the day called Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place.
Yeah.
And they finally shortened it because it was just too long. It was too much. I mean, I thought it was a funny title, but they just ended up calling it like Two Guys and a Girl.
Right.
They really did. They dropped And a Pizza Place after some period of time because it was just too long. But I just feel like maybe they'll figure that out eventually and just keep calling it The Rings of Power. I mean, because I'm really going to be mad if they keep calling House of the Dragon Game of Thrones. It's when it's, you know, House of the Dragon. So, you know, just get with it, because it just, you know, just makes some sense. Just makes sense. Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, it works for marketing reasons, but it's annoying for all the petty reasons I can think of right now.
Yeah. So many petty reasons.
But speaking of petty, I didn't see a ton of black people and people of color in the trailer. I did see a few, but a lot of the cast, or, you know, main cast, seemed to be white, which is something that we talked about previously, actually on the last cast, where we talked about how, you know, they showed the posters with just people's hands, and there was a lot of, you know, black people, or, you know, there weren't a lot, there were white people and like people of color, or, you know, the global majority in these posters, right? And so our concern was, are we going to be in main roles? Are we going to be, you know, the backup, you know, the scenery? Is this like a token type of thing? You know, because they're talking about diversity, they're putting diversity forward. And so I'm like, all right, I'm willing to give you a chance. But knowing these books and knowing what has kind of come from this and just how people tend to handle these things, companies, we didn't want a random black elf just to be there. Like, give them a role, give them a reason to be there, right? And so we looked at the trailer, and it looked like how I thought it would look. You know, it looked like, you know, Lord of the Rings with a few extra, you know, people of color tossed in for sprinkling, you know, for seasoning, if you will. And I'm still not downing it, because, again, this is a brief trailer. This isn't, it doesn't go into, I mean, because it's not a movie. It would be different if it was a movie, because you're only getting, you know, in 2 hours, three if you're really pushing it. This is supposed to be a series. They're not going to show you every single episode, right? So I don't expect us to see everybody, especially at the Super Bowl. You know, that the Super Bowl spots cost a lot of money. I don't expect to see every bit of whatever in these trailers. And The Witcher, when we saw the Witcher trailers, they didn't really show a lot of people of color either, even though the cast does have a decent amount of black people in there, right? And so I'm able to still give it the benefit of the doubt. But because speculation is fun, we're going to speculate and say we don't have any main roles right now. Just because, you know, it's Black History Month, and it just makes sense. It just makes sense. I'm hoping that it, you know, it's a good show. I'm hoping that we are given good roles. And I'm hoping that when they speak about diversity, that it's not just in front of the camera, but also behind.
Yeah, that's extremely.
I'm not holding my breath, because it's also Amazon. So, yeah.
I don't know. I'd be like, you know, when we talked last time, it was just, it's a lot of it, not just the posters that was released, but there was so much talk. It was like, there's a lot of talk on the internet. A lot of people were saying things, and then of course you had the one guy who's like, I'm a black hobbit, and he's like, you know, all excited and everything, and it was like, okay, cool. You know, my personal opinion was just like I said, from especially in the, you know, when they threw us into the last 5 minutes of the last Hobbit movie, and I was sitting here like, why did you choose to diversify the last movie? You know, or why did you choose to do this at this point in time? You didn't choose to do it in the good movie, in the first three movies that were really good. The Hobbit was, you know, kind of a trash mishmash of whatever you wanted. I don't even know why you had to make all those movies off of a book that was like less than 200 pages. I do not remember how long The Hobbit was, but
it was long.
But it wasn't that long. The Hobbit, I mean, oh, you mean the movies.
Right, yeah. Well, I don't know, because
it wasn't long.
Lord of the Rings, they just I remember reading Lord of the Rings and like taking chapters to get out of the Shire. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, like, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. And the Lord of the Rings was long. I have the three book set, but I have the illustrated version. It's huge. Like it's the books are massive and they're heavy. But like The Hobbit was a small book. I remember reading it so fast. I used to read it on my lunch break when I was working at a store I won't name, Amazon. but You know, I love, like I said before, I love that book. It was just so much fun, and I felt like the movies took all the fun out of the book, out of that book, out of The Hobbit, because
Okay.
it made it like it just it changed the sentiment. Like there was a lot of fun in The Hobbit, like you know Bilbo's adventures and doing all and getting into spats and then getting out of them and being clever and stuff. And I just
Yeah.
felt like the movie kind of took that away. The movie, gave us drama we didn't need with a character that didn't exist, like with Tauriel, and then who doesn't actually exist,
Right.
and then just a lot of drama and emotions that we didn't necessarily need, except all of the Thranduil drama, because I am here for anything Lee Pace does. I love that man, and I love Thranduil because of him. Because he made him so badass, and I really think it's not fair that we didn't actually get to see the, Thranduil post Lord of the Rings, because
Right.
he's actually even cooler. But that's not the point. My point is, we got some people of the global majority were thrown into the last few minutes, which is just so meaningless to us. Like I saw some Asian people, and I saw like what. Like two black people or one, I don't know. And it was just, it's such an afterthought. It was like, so you're going to diversify Lake Town with no, for no reason in the
Yeah.
last 5 minutes of, one or two movies or whatever. And we don't, no real speaking role, like nothing. There's no value to this. There's no importance to this. And it makes me feel like a throwaway, because it was like, who are you pandering to? But because we've been saying for years that these movies weren't diverse. I mean, Tolkien's work wasn't diverse with anyone who wasn't fair of skin. Like
Right.
his dream world that he made was all white. It just was. That's what he wrote. That's what he made. But the director, the producer, the casting, they could have done whatever they wanted, and they chose not to. So at the end of that, you have, all these people online who are crazy and racist, and we're talking about, we shouldn't be diversifying, that the woke mafia is doing X, Y, Z. I'm like, shut up. You guys shut up because you're racist. But as for my own self and being somebody who is asking, and I'm not asking to be represented in this, but if you are going to represent us, then represent us well.
Right, do it properly.
Do it properly. Like, just like we are in the world or in this country or whatever. There's a huge blend. So there's just no reason if you are going to diversify the cast, and there's no reason that you shouldn't have people who are not white be in main roles, and then you still have to do your job of rewriting all of Lord of the Rings, because if you're going to make Isildur's grandfather, Maori, like they were saying, like
Right.
they're like, oh, this is who we're like. Then, when it comes time, 30 years from now, when you guys want to redo Lord of the Rings, and you make sure that makes sense, and you make sure that works out somewhere,
Right. It
and that's
should.
fine.
It should. Like it's because it's tiring enough to say that we need these things and then you do the bare minimum. And then, because we're not even talking about which I can see happening. This hasn't happened yet because they haven't shown enough of the Lord of the Rings. But that, like, we look at what happened with Star Wars with Finn's character. Like, immediately when people saw that he was in Stormtrooper gear, they were upset. When they saw that he had a lightsaber, they were upset. And it's like, we can't be anything. We can't be the bad guys
Right.
or the good guys. Like,
What
we
are
just
you
can't
guys?
be, you know what I'm saying? To the point of harassing people on Twitter and all this other stuff. And it's like, all right, so you know that, I would hope you know that this stuff happens. So if we're gonna do it, don't half-ass it. Like, just go all this and make a statement. Like, this is what we're doing. If be about your business of diversifying the role, the cast, the people in the background. And stand with them when this stuff happens, but don't give them, because what you do is you're adding fuel to the flames. If someone can say that we don't need to diversify, leave it as it is, you're just doing this to pander, and you give us the most meaningless role, and you know we're not on screen all that much, you're basically proving their point. Like, yeah, you just did this for brownie points and, it, you know, to get more black people to watch. And even the word pandering, right? Like, I'm not saying pandering is necessarily bad. If you are, if an audience wants something and is deemed healthy, give it to them. If they're, mm-hmm. if they're willing to pay for it, if they're willing to see it, you know what I'm saying? Give it to them. If that's what the audience wants. But don't half-ass it. Don't do that, because you're not only making us look bad, you also are adding fuel to the people who don't want us there to begin with.
Exactly.
You know, that's give us a meaningful role and show people that, hey, we can do this stuff too, and it's not going to hurt your story. Boom. Now we have something. You know what I'm saying? I hope the show is good. I'm going to be, you know, checking it out. I just renewed my Prime for a year, so I'm definitely going to be checking it out. But I'm not as excited as I almost thought I was when I just saw the posters. I'm a little bit more like, oh, this is more of the same, you know. And maybe for me also, I've had a lot of Lord of the Rings content, like even from like the old animated Hobbit film. Like I've seen and been in this world a lot, so
played games. Right,
exactly. From that standpoint, I wasn't that excited to begin with, but with them, you know, starting things anew and adding more people of color, I'm like, okay, this might be something, you know, might be something worth talking about. So we'll see. We'll definitely be, you know, keeping you posted. And when the show does launch, we'll definitely have, if it's good or bad, we'll definitely be, you know, talking about it here. Because we have to. It's what we do. It's what we do here, right? the next thing we wanted to talk about, before I actually get to the next piece, I wanted to throw this in here because we talked about the Olympics last week a little bit, and it only makes sense that I bring this up now, being that it's Black History Month, that Erin Jackson won. She's the first Black woman to win a medal for speed skating. She won the gold.
Yep, I watched it.
Fire. Awesomeness. Mm-hmm. Clap it up for her. I didn't get to see it. I actually heard it, you know, it was announced on the radio, actually, when I was driving to a doctor's appointment. Because I, like we said, we weren't really watching this year. But that made me want to at least go see the clip. but yeah, because we don't really win speed skating all that often. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we did is pretty freaking great.
Yeah,
because we got to get medals in everything, folks. We just got to show that we're awesome.
So we gotta show that we're not like, you know, the stereotype is always that, you know, Black people don't do winter sports,
right?
And we know that to not actually be factually true. It's just that we weren't in it for a really long time, and you know, there's all kinds of reasons for anybody to not be in something, but we weren't represented. We weren't getting there. And then finally, it's like people here, like the girl who was on the, was it bobsledding several years ago? Like it was her. And then what's his face in, who plays hockey, plays like for the Caps.
Yep.
And like, oh, by the way, like he was my MVP for the longest time. Like, that's my dude.
Right.
But like, you know, we're just not known for that. You had the Ghanaian guy who was known as the snow leopard, the seer. Yeah. I remember when he came out, he was like, I'm the snow leopard. I died. I was like, this is so funny because he had that snow leopard outfit. and then there's another guy. There's the guy who's a black ice skater. I think he is amazing. He does all of those Instagram videos of jumping over celebrities. He does backflips all the time.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about.
He's not in the Olympics, I don't think, but he's in the sport. You know, like we are in the sports. But
we are out here.
Yeah, we out here.
We out here. Like, not, you know, like what I mean?
Not like the last man on earth.
So yeah, I definitely want to make note of that. The next thing we wanted to talk about, or that was, you know, a part of the notes, was unfortunately on a more, you know, sad note, and that was Ivan Reitman. I believe that's how you say his last name. He is the director of a ton of movies that I like, starting with Ghostbusters. I'm a huge, if you didn't know, huge Ghostbuster fan. I want to say on a few episodes ago, I talked about Ghostbusters Afterlife, which is actually directed by his son, which is really, really freaking cool to be able to do, you know, kind of hold up the legacy that your, you know, your father has. But yeah, he directed and produced Ghostbusters and Ghostbusters 2. And being a Ghostbusters fan, it was like, dang, this is, it sucks to hear, you know, but I kind of want to focus on the things that he, you know, some of the good stuff in terms of his films and whatnot. I didn't know him personally, obviously, but just what his work meant to me in terms of being a Ghostbuster fan, or even just like a lot of the comedies that he's done, like the, like Twins and Kindergarten Cop. You know what I mean? God. Like getting Arnold, to play these roles, especially Junior.
Right. Bananas. Junior, he was pregnant.
Right. Like, what? you know what I mean? And like, understanding like how someone can make something, you know, a piece of art or a piece of media that sticks with you, you know, forever. Like that, like I've been a fan of Ghostbusters since I can remember.
Yeah.
And whether it was the toys, the show, the, you know, animated shows.
The high C, the Slimer flavor.
Right. You know, and cool note, he actually voiced Slimer. He voiced Slimer in both films, and Zool. He voiced, he has a role in there where he's, you know, helping with voicing Zool or whatever. Just really dope, like, information, learning about the things that he's done. Like, I knew he directed and stuff, but I didn't know he did any voice work, you know.
Yeah, me neither.
Just kind of looking him up. But, yeah, and he also did, you know, Animal House and just a bunch of stuff. He produced, you know, Animal House. And so it's really, you know, it's sad, but it's cool to kind of remember his legacy and what he's kind of left. And the fact that he you know, if the new Ghostbuster films continue, he pretty much left that for his son. You know, if his son continues, Jason, if he continues to direct these, you know, write and direct or whatever. So, yeah, I it's saddening. He passed at the age of 75,
I believe.
And I think he was at his home. I didn't look into the cause, you know, with the older celebrities, like Betty White and stuff like that. It's kind of, you kind of think of it, or I guess a more positive way of thinking about it is that they are, you know, they're older and it was just their time versus, I know, I remember reading about Bob Saget, I believe he hit his head or something and, you know, didn't think anything of it, but it, you know, ended up being a really bad thing. You know what I'm saying? I didn't hear anything about that with Ivan. And, you know, hopefully that wasn't the case. But yeah, it's definitely just interesting when you think about what these people have done and how they've kind of touched your life in a way. I remember I was talking about Sidney Poitier and how just seeing him act in the roles that he did and all the stuff that he did behind the scenes and how that made younger people like us think that we could act or, you know, direct or write or whatever the case may be. I'm pretty sure that's the same thing with him. Not so much with black people, but with someone who's like, oh, I can do a comedy or I can make a, you know, I can be silly and it's okay, you know. Or I could just get into producing.
Be an immigrant.
Right. Exactly. Like I don't have to be. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Like I can do stuff that, or at least it inspire you to do something along those lines. And that's always really cool, you know? And also there was no, you know, cause it, unfortunately when this happens, if someone passes away and there's any controversy, that's brought up first. And, you know, in the last few that we've had, you know, passed, there hasn't been any controversy. So even then it's like, oh, they're, you're extra of a, you know, kind of a role model or extra kind of, you know, inspiration to people, right? Because there was no, you know, there's no dirt on your name per se. Not to say that you were perfect, but, you know, it's a much easier to remember the good. You know what I mean? And so I am, while saddened, I'm happy that he left such a cool legacy. And, you know, I hope his son continues, you know, to make more Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
And just movies in general.
Yeah,
I would like more Ghostbusters, but I'm just saying.
Clearly.
Just saying. But yeah, and then the last thing we want to talk about is we want to go a little bit more in depth about Peacemaker and how bananas this show is, how great John Cena is doing in this role. And yeah, it's just wild. I haven't finished the final. I actually started it today, but then I had to go put up a screen door, so I didn't get to finish it.
Yeah, that was important. But
it started hilarious. Like the opening song. Oh, I was weak.
The first episode and like part of the second episode, but I just find the first episode to be effing ridiculous.
Yes.
Just every part of it is ridiculous. Him getting out of the hospital, like the whole thing in the hospital is ridiculous.
Those long conversations he has about nothing. Like,
so good.
It's like you're not a superhero. Like, I am a superhero. Well, where's your gallery of bad guys? Well, I don't have that. But he's like, well, you're not a superhero. And it's like, are we really having this conversation?
Yes,
it reminds me of like the show his world is like Curb Your Enthusiasm, but like less awkward and annoying. Like I wouldn't want to live in his world. But at the same time, I would rather live there than in Curb Your Enthusiasm, because I just can't stand watching that show. It just does something. If you ever watch a show where someone does something awkward, like The Office, like a lot of their comedy is based on awkward interchanges between people, right? Mm-hmm. Or exchanges. And you're like, I just can't. I have to cover my face. Like, that's what it feels like with Curb. Whereas this is just silly. Like, why? Like, in the episode I just watched, there's a scene where Vigilante is like, you know, no, John Cena says something sarcastic, and Vigilante is like, oh, that's mean, or, you know, he agrees with him, and he's like, no, I'm being sarcastic, and he's like, well, you should let people know if you're going to be sarcastic, and like, that's not how sarcasm works. You don't tell someone prior to saying something sarcastic, but then they get in an argument about being sarcastic, or, you know, someone, he was saying like, you know, you know, they were looking for something. They were looking for an important item. And one of the guys goes, you know, do you see anything? And he's like, I don't know. I see some ants. Vigilante's like, I see ants. He's like, why are you telling me about ants? And he's like, well, ants are important. But he's like, but we're looking for this item. Like, well, he was like, well, you didn't specify. Why would I want to know about ants? He's like, well, they're a part of the, you know, the circle of life. He's like, how? Well, I mean, there's so many of them. He's like, but they're not like fish. He's like, well, there's not that many fish. And it's just, they're having a conversation that has nothing to do with nothing in the midst of like danger. And it's
basically,
like, are we
Archer?
Right? Are we really doing this right now? Yes. Like, yes, Archer. Perfect. Perfect. It's like Archer. Not as clever, but yeah, it's along those lines of Archerness.
Yeah. Archer apparently, which is never ending, which is fine. I'm okay with that. But yeah, I mean, I love Peacemaker's just so stupid. I love how he, you know, thinks he's sneaking out of the hospital in the same bloody outfit that he was like basically rescued in. He can't pay the cab driver. He gives him his helmet. Like, it was just, I was like, just the funniness to see the cab driver drive away so happy with his helmet on, and he's standing right there just like looking mad stupid. I love how he has a pet eagle.
Like, right,
it's just so, everything is like, it's like, this guy, are you for real? You just want to ask yourself all the time, are you for real? Because everything he does is so ridiculous. And then you meet his father and you find out, okay, you know what? I can understand why you are ridiculous, because your dad's ridiculous. But at the same time, your dad's just like awful.
awful.
But you are slow of learn. You are just special. He is definitely not the you know, brightest crayon in the box. He's not the sharpest tool in the shed. He is just a special individual.
Because it's not even like in terms of intelligence, because he's smart, right? But it's like his, how he interacts with people and how he understands the world is so skewed.
Hey, sweet cheeks. They like sweet cheeks' butts. He's like, with her cheeks. It's
right. Like, how do you not know that? How do you not know that? And like, yeah. But he's also extremely honest in a yeah. way with the way yeah. he talks and whatnot, to the point where you kind of get him. And I think the mm-hmm. characters over time kind of understand him a little bit more because yeah. of that. It's like, oh, you say everything that pops in your head. And mm-hmm. no one ever told you that that was wrong.
Right.
Like, you're, you know, that. And then even like in the way he justifies it, it's not even like, you know how like you catch someone in a lie and they're like, oh, yeah. I was just joking, but they weren't. Yeah. He's like, no, he's serious. He was serious. Like, no, I'm actually saying that this is the thing, but mm-hmm. it's not right. Oh, okay. Well. And like, it's like he has to sit with it.
Why wouldn't it be?
Right, like definitely great.
He said, "You're racist. You don't arrest white people as much as you arrest black people." It's like, I only arrest criminals or whatever. He's like, I only go after criminals. He's like, he's like, why do you have more like black criminals than white criminals? And he's like, I guess I will investigate that. He's like, you need to watch white people do crimes just as much as you pay attention to black people doing crime.
Right.
He's like, I will try to do that.
So I never thought of it that way.
Silly.
But yeah, the cast is really good. I enjoy like their it's because at first I thought it was gonna be annoying, their banter back and forth. Mm-hmm. There are moments with Vigilante where I'm like, all right. This gone on a little too much, mm-hmm. but for the most part, it's worked out. I was a little surprised at some of the deaths of the show, and I know you haven't seen as much as I have, so I'm not gonna say but
it's fine. I don't mind.
there's definitely like there's certain characters that they show early on that you feel that are gonna be, and I guess they are in a way like they survive to the end, but not in the same fashion as they started, and so I was really shocked. I didn't realize this was only going to be like 6 episodes. I thought it was going to be a little bit longer of a series. And I guess they're doing that similar to Marvel's, shows where it's like a gap in between films. So they're not meant to be like an ongoing thing or whatever. Yeah. And so they kind of get to resolutions very quick. So there's people who I thought like, oh, this is going to be, you know, their dynamic is going to be in this show for a while going back and forth. I'm like, oh, they're dead. All right. And it's like, okay, I didn't see that coming. But it's been a wild ride, and I would like to see another season. I would like to see them kind of continue this, or at the very least, film-wise, kind of continue this stuff and see how it fits in with the rest of Justice League. I know, or not Justice League, DC. I know that it's a little separate in a way where like they told, you know, James Gunn he could do whatever he wanted. Mm-hmm. And he ran with that idea. But trying to see how this all works because he fits and then he doesn't. Like, I can see him in Gotham just because of how crazy everything is. But then, like, you know, I think the Superman films are, or like Shazam and whatnot, like they're all in places or in worlds that seem like they make more sense. People aren't as silly or as like, yeah, silly, I guess, is a word where you know, you're arguing about ants, right? While people are dying. And so it's kind of a weird juxtaposition of characters, but it works in a way too. And so I'm looking forward to seeing how he's, you know, where Peacemaker goes from here and if he's put back into the DC film lineup, how that kind of works, you know, for this cast. But so far, I think it's great. I think HBO, you know, HBO and DC kind of, you know, knocked it out of the park. I think that they should probably, you know, get into James Gunn's ear a little bit more. I know he had a bit of a rough time with Marvel because of the, you know, some previous tweets that he did years ago. And, but I know he's back for Guardians of the Galaxy 3. And so I don't know if that's going to be his last Marvel film, but if I was Marvel, I'd be like, hey, look, we got these shows coming up. Like, you know what I'm saying? If you want to do a little extra, you know, we got money over here.
Money.
You know what I'm saying? You know, and he probably, I think he's a little bit more, just judging how, you know, I follow him on Twitter and like how much fun he's having with this show. I think he might want to do a little bit more DC stuff, or at the very least, maybe Deadpool stuff for Marvel, because right now Marvel and Disney, they don't have any R-rated stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I heard that the new Deadpool is supposed to be R-rated, and I think Blade is going to be R-rated when it comes out. But
okay.
I'm not holding my breath on those either, because it's Disney is involved.
Yeah.
And while you know, the guy that's been doing all the movies, I think his name's Kevin, I forget. He was saying that they're going to have rated R films. Disney might be like, nah. Yeah. I don't know. But, you know, we'll see. I want to see more of James Gunn's stuff with just comic book people in general. I think he does a really good job with it. And he's having fun. You could tell he's having fun.
Yeah, he really is. It's just silly. His abilities are silly. They're really good. I mean, he has a really good way of introducing characters. He has a really good way of, you know, like multiple characters at the, you know, in a film. And I find him to be very talented. So I enjoy watching his stuff. Like, I just feel like DC made such a smart move.
They scooped him up quick. They were like, oh, you ain't with Marvel no more? Hey. Yeah.
It was really, like, it was just so smart. It was just like, hey, this isn't about we need to make as much money as them. This is just, we need to have one good movie. We need to have one. Okay? Like, I'm not asking for Guardians of the Galaxy silliness all the time. Like, I'm just asking that we have a great concept and we just need you to make it good. Because the last guy destroyed it.
And you know what? I found out some new information with David, the previous director, was that, and this is what he says, and I'm not sure. I do know that this kind of happened with Justice League, but he was saying that his original cut isn't what actually made it into the film.
I heard that too. But
it was like chopped up. I'm not saying it would have been... Because even with like the Justice League, the redone Justice League movie is much better. The thing is, though, the bar was so freaking low that much better is relative, right?
Right.
It is definitely in the, you know, it hit good. It's just right there. Like it's almost bad. Whereas, you know, the Suicide Squad, I don't know if the original one, if his all the cuts got back in and all the, you know, the scenes and whatnot was put back, that it would be on that same level. I don't know, because some of it seemed like this is what you wanted.
I don't,
you could tell, because he wanted more of the Joker. I could tell that he wanted more of the Joker. Because his absence was just weird after, you know, all of them going to get tattoos together and talking about how they're like a family now, and for him to get like a few scenes is like, huh? So I could tell something was done, but I don't know how far, you know, how you know, the quality bar falls, you know, if he didn't get that editing. So
it just wasn't. It just still wasn't a good at the end of the day.
It wasn't I
that film.
I just need, like, if you're whatever your, you know, whatever your original idea is, for it to kind of work or fail on that. Not to say that you don't need people to help you edit, because good grief. Yeah. Freaking, what's his name, wanted to put everything in Justice League. Like, characters that wouldn't even introduce yet. You're just like, I'm going to just throw this character in. Like, fam, we don't need a four-hour film. But anyways.
Apparently, he thought we did.
Sheesh. But yeah, that is our show for tonight. We're going to wrap it up a little early. Just a little bit, honestly.
Just a little bit. But I have one more thing to say.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This is extremely important. If you have not watched The Tinder Swindler, you need to fix your life and watch it right now.
The Tinder Swindler?
Tinder Swindler. It is on the Netflix. It needs to be watched. Okay. It needs to be watched. Everybody stop what you're doing. Stop listening to us. Stop doing anything else. And you go watch The Tinder Swindler. And you burn this man's face into your memory. So if you ever come across this guy, you know he's scamming you. Okay? Okay? The Tinder Swindler. And we could talk about it next week or so. But this man was getting women, was convincing women that he was in trouble. He scammed over like $10 million.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that. So they made a doc about it, or a movie?
Yeah, there's a movie. There's a documentary.
Wow. About it.
And it is so funny because apparently the New York Post, now mind you, we don't get a lot of our information from the New York Post because it's tabloid, but the New York Post says that the Tinder swindler signed with a Hollywood agent. He wants his own dating show. People are calling him the Schematchler. The Bachelor. Wow. The Schematchler.
Wow. Wow. Oh, and you know people are going to fall for it.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. So I wanted to end on that because don't get scammed out here, people. Not in these streets.
Look, I'm not giving – we talked about this prior. I'm not giving anybody any money. Like, I would – I'm. You know what? I am married. I am glad to be married. But even when I wasn't, I'm not – no. No.
All I want. Seriously, this would be the best pickup for me is some dude to come and try to swoon me and wine me and dine me and then literally say, hey, I need you to wire me $20,000. I got my enemies are after me and I'm in hiding. I would have been like, okay. So what's going to happen right now is I ain't going to give you no money. Do you still want to be with me? Because I have bad credit.
Even if you had good credit, I'm not wiring you. You better call the police.
Right. Can I call the police for you? Is there anything I can do? I know you're in a foreign country right now, but like, can I call Interpol? Like, what can I do to help you that doesn't require me robbing a bank?
And how are you? Why are you calling me for this?
That's
like,
what I'm
of
saying.
All people, I don't have. You knew that when you took me out. I ain't have.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe
I had no money.
I mean, apparently they had money because they gave it to them.
They didn't. They didn't. They had to go get loans. They were the women were scared. I feel so bad for them because a lot of people are like, oh, these women are idiots. But it was like, but no, he did an emotional con on them. He would make them believe. Like, he would make them believe he was in love with them by taking them, you know, doing all these nice things for them and making it feel like, oh, my God, I'm special. I'm a special person to this guy, and he's rich. He's like, you know, I'm the CEO of this diamond company. He has his own website. Like, all this stuff. He's a professional con artist, you know?
Nah.
So people didn't notice, and they're just like... You know, he would take them on expensive dates. It's not just like, oh, let me pick you up and we can go catch a show at the Kennedy Center. No, it's like, let me pick you up, take you to the nicest restaurant in town in a car with a driver. And then, oh, by the way, we're going somewhere else. And next thing you know, you're on a helipad, getting in a helicopter, flying to a different city to go see the show there. Like he was taking women on extravagant dates. Like flying them to other cities, doing all these expenses, and buying, like dropping money on them, buying them Louboutin shoes, Dior earrings.
I don't think you heard me. Hold up.
He said, "Nah,
nah." if anything, that would tell me you don't need my money.
Right, and but that's the thing. They were confused because it was like he was super rich, clearly, but then he would send a picture of him and his bodyguard. Beat up and been like, we're like, we just got attacked by, you know, like he basically said that his father had gotten into some trouble with the diamond industry or whatever. And there's some people who are after him and he would do it so quickly that they're like, what, why are you sending me this picture? And he's like, we're on the run. Somebody attacked us. And like, it was just totally emotional. Like, and he's like, I need help. I need help. Can you just send me like a, you know, some money because I can't. Wait. All my accounts are frozen because they're following me, so I can't use any of my. Yeah, like he would convince him. He's like, just open a credit card, put it in my name, and I'll use
this,
it.
These are these emails that you get when they're like, such and such is going to give you millions of dollars. Right. It's in real life.
It's in real life.
Nah,
it's a real human being though, and he's like,
you telling me?
Good for it.
No, listen to me, people. What year did this happen? Because there's no way in the world that you can't, you telling me a rich person can't get the cash? You can't get the cash. That's as a rich person, you don't have any rich friends. You pick the one poor person to send you money. You don't have any type of, there's no way in the world I would send any, like, hey, you got to call the police. And it's not even to say that, like, to be heartless. It's the idea that none of this makes sense. Even if people are after you, even if this is true, you mean to tell me you have no rich people that you can get money from? Because you don't get that rich by yourself.
By yourself, so, you know other rich people.
Right.
Like your dad can't give you the money, but he had an answer for everything. He explained himself out of so much stuff. And like the biggest thing was the hiding part. Like I am in hiding. They're after me. I can't use my stuff. I can't use my passport. I can't use any of my things because they'll find out where I am.
You better stop talking to me then.
I know, right? It was like, that's the one thing that I was like, wait a minute, this guy is literally always on his phone. If somebody wanted to find him, they just put a tracker on their joint or, what's the find my friends? Like,
right?
So I was in my, but the thing is, like sometimes, especially when you think you're in love with somebody, like you're, it's called emotional fog. And these women really, really were just like, wait, like they're so, it's called shock, like shock something. Or whatever, like,
oh, yeah, I get it. I totally get it. It's, I just, I'm still like, nah,
I know, like,
and I, you know what, it's also like what you've been through in life, the stuff that you experience, things that you've seen, it tailors how you view certain things,
yeah.
Because I'll say this, I'll be shocked if it was a lot of Black women.
Right, which there were none, as far as I know.
Okay, all right, cool, because I would be mad shocked, like, for real,
like,
for
what?
Real.
How did this happen to you?
Right, like, fam, really?
Like,
And it's not to be like heartless or you know, because I think he did something wrong. I'm not trying to like say that it's necessarily whoever's fault, but at the same time, nah. Like,
I know.
Where were you, fam? None of this makes sense.
None of this makes sense. Wasn't even his girlfriend. Like, they were just really good friends. But it's the craziest part is like, you know, he's such a good con artist because like especially for the woman who wasn't even his girlfriend, like she would go on vacations with him. They spent a lot of time. They had a lot of fun and they would do like really expensive things. And she had her own money. You know, she was also well off for herself. But like spending time with this guy who has mad money and will literally be like, hey, we're going to go. We're getting a suite. We're doing this. We're doing that. Hanging out with him and his girlfriend, having a great ass time. Like he's good. Like she knows people who are with him. They're like, they know he's good for the money. They know he's good for the money. So like when this situation comes up out of the blue, 5 months after knowing the guy, and it's just like, wait, oh, you need, okay, I guess I can help you. Cause I'm really scared. You know, it's all emotional and it's so fast. And it's like, oh my God, sure, I'll help you. And then it's like, don't worry, I'll give you the money. And then he literally sends you a check for like double the amount. And it has his company name on it. So like they believe him, you know? And then by that time it's too late because the check is fake.
Yeah, no.
But it's like, wait a minute, how did I just spend vacation with you where you probably spent, you probably spent $100,000 just on the vacation that we had. And then something happens a week later, or, you know, not even a week, but a month later, something bad happens to you. And then you're asking me, hey, can you send me some cash or, you know, whatever. And it's like, okay, yeah, sure. I can help you because I know you're good for it. Not even, oh, I know you're good for it. It's the reassurance. He's like, I'm good for it. I will, you know, I'll pay you back once I get to a new city. I need to get out of the city I'm in. And it's like, okay, yeah, sure. Okay. Yeah. And then, but he's literally scamming. This is the saddest part. He's scamming while you're on vacation with him having a really good time. He's literally scamming another person and that person is funding your vacation.
Yeah,
you
it's don't all know goofy. That. It doesn't make first
it's
why
awful.
I'm just old. I'll just say that. Like I don't want people flying me anywhere. I don't y'all trust people you just met and we like I don't want I don't understand how people just trust every, like, I'm not,
and
maybe I'm paranoid. I just don't trust people.
It's not just even the paranoia, because that's the same, like, a lot of people who there's a lot of people who are, like, very, you know, do not trust, and so they don't get caught up in this kind of stuff, but it's the type of person that somebody knows they can prey upon. So you know
that's,
you can prey upon a certain person who is a little bit more vulnerable and a little bit, you know, lacking in something. And it's like, that's your perfect prey. He's a predator. On top of he's a con artist because he's a predator. Like, and that
it makes
and
sense.
That's just an, it's so, it's like sad, but it's like, how do you only, how do you barely get punished for this? You know, you like,
yeah, I mean, yeah. But some type of loophole, I guess, because I would assume it's fraud. I mean, there is the,
yeah, he committed all kinds of frauds.
Right. And there's also the, I forgot the laws, and it also depends on your states, right? Which state you're in, but yeah. Where it was like, if you lead people on, for a certain amount of time, that's also against the law. I forgot what it's called, but yeah, just all sorts of messiness. I might check it out, but it might make me upset. I might get upset at just how foolish people are at just. But you know what? That's this world, honestly. Like, people don't believe scientists anymore. So I'm not surprised. It's whatever you want to do, spend your money, but. Nah, is what I'm going to end this with. Nah. But yeah, shout out to everyone who hung out with us and, you know, listen to our rant. Feel free to follow. If you're listening on YouTube, hit that, you know, subscribe button and hit the notification bell so you're up on all the new content coming out. If you're not there, you can check us out on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Steezer, all those different places. You can also check us out on Verbal. It'll come out a little bit later, but we're there as well. And also follow us on Twitter at TheGameCast1. So then you know what's going on. There's a lot of stuff coming out, whether it be new shows over at Netflix. I saw the Stranger Things Twitter account tweet out how the final season actually is a two-part season, which I'm really getting annoyed with because the Walking Dead season is three parts. Folks, just make it one thing and just keep going. Stop with these mid-seasons and... I don't need all that. I get it. It's ratings. You get ratings boosts whenever there's a premiere and a final, but we don't need multiples of those.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's annoying. Anywho, Stranger Things. Also, Attack on Titan is rolling, is getting ready to end, I believe. I hope it's getting ready to end. From what I can tell, it should be done in the next two episodes, which... It's been wild, like really, really, really cool this season. So if you have been missing Attack on Titan, don't worry. We're going to talk about it eventually.
Yeah.
And there's also, this is, you know, February and March, there's a ton of games coming out. So we're always going to be talking about that. I don't want to talk about Pokemon anymore or think about Pokemon anymore. Just because I had to do a lot of work with that game. But it is a good game. Definitely go check that out. If you have a Switch, it's definitely good. One of the better Pokemon games, just in terms of them trying new things. A lot of Pokemon, like Dynasty Warriors, is the same thing over and over and over. And so, you know, just being able to do something a little bit different, a little bit more dynamic is actually pretty cool. Also, Elden Ring is going to be dropping pretty soon. I want to say on the 25th, I'm going to be checking it out, even though I'm not a huge Dark Souls fan. But I think it's going to be fun. I like the open worldness, and hopefully my anxiety won't spike and I won't just quit after getting it. But it looks really cool, and I hope to play it and actually talk about it on here. Because I think that would make a really interesting episode, too, to just talk about anxiety. We've done it before, but I think this will be a different kind of approach where we're talking about activities that kind of build anxiety as opposed to just having it. So basically, a lot of cool stuff is coming. And you're going to want to subscribe and all that good stuff so you know what's what. But other than that, I think that's it for housekeeping.
Yeah, that's it, y'all. Thanks. Bye. No, not that mean. remember to wash your hands. Remember to wear your masks. Even if the governor of Virginia is telling y'all not to, please don't be like him. Don't go walking around maskless in a safe way. Getting all close to employees, ringing up people's groceries like you've never rung up a grocery in your life. Like, don't do that, y'all. Just like I always say, and I'm going to continue to say this, just don't be a dick.
Right.
Don't. And it's so easy to not be a dick. Like, you just don't invade people's personal spaces without a mask on because COVID's still a thing. Like I just said, half my family just got COVID. So it's a thing. It exists. So yeah, don't be a dick. Please wear your mask. Please wash your hands. I don't know why this is not an option.
Right. Don't listen to celebrities who don't wash their hands. Please.
Yeah. Come on. Just do the basics. Do the things they taught us in elementary school. They kind of work. So yeah, that's really all I got for you. Thanks for listening to us. Wash your butts, please.
Yes.
That's it, y'all. Thanks so much. Bye.